This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio, and it's me, Dove Wolf, your host, and today I'm going solo, no guests. There's just been a lot in the news, so I thought I'd get my pile is, you know, building and building and building, the pile my cats like to sleep on of all the little stories I want to share on the radio, and I thought I better just clear some of these out before I have a guest again. So today we're going to talk about that, dogs and cats and what's been going on in the world. And of course, because Mother's Day is coming up, I'll give you a few pet Mother's Day moments. But to start with, I wanted to say that I thought it was really interesting that there was this big fashion show in 2023 in New York City, and the Met Gala, and they tried to honor Karl Lagerfeld, who had passed. And in doing so, they made it very cat themed. Now, I'm not usually interested in fashion at all, but I found this fascinating, all the different ways they wove cat themes into the show. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, you might want to check that out. Very interesting. People dressed up as cats and cats woven into the designs and just a general feline-esque sort of a feel to the Met Gala this year. So I thought that was pretty cool. Okay, so going to the dog world. In 2022... the French Bulldog, also known as the Frenchie, replaced the Labrador Retriever, upseated, took the lab off the throne of the most registered dog in America. Do, 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 do. Why do I do that noise? Because, well, it's kind of a mixed thing. I see why people like Frenchies. I do. And I'm sure the American Veterinary Medical Association is applauding this because they've now gone from a very low maintenance, very simple, hardly sees the vet dog, to a dog that's there all the time. So congratulations to the Veterinary Medical Association. You now got number one dog, number one customer, all in one. Frenchies do come with some problems, some health problems, not quite as bad as some of the others. I mean, they're not the worst toy dog in terms of health, but you definitely want to get your vet insurance if you've got a French Bulldog. Highly advise that. It will be well worth it in the end. With a lab, if the lab doesn't have hip dysplasia, the lab's probably not going to have much wrong with it its whole life till it's very, very old. And when it gets to be about 8 or 9 or 10, you want to start seeing the vet twice a year instead of once a year, just to make sure you're doing preventative care, treatment rather than emergency. Because so many of these things are really easy to catch and really easy to treat if caught early, and really expensive and difficult, if not, when you get into an older dog. But basically, a lab is kind of like a wash and wear dog. I mean, it's got the repellent coat, and most of them don't have many skin issues. I will say, though, chocolate labs tend to have more sensitive skin than the black and the blonde varieties. So if you're looking for a real easy-to-own dog, go for a lab, or even better, a lab cross. There's so many of them in the shelters and the SPCAs, and they make amazing pets. There was a reason Labradors were the most popular. I mean, they're so easy to train. They're like the beginner dog. If you've never had a dog before and you want a dog that's going to be good with your kids, look for a dog with lab cross in it or lab. And that you can tell by the shape of the mouth a lot of times. It'll have floppy ears, even if it's a mutt, and it'll have a round shaped mouth, not a pointy shaped mouth. So when you look from above, if it looks like a shape of a V, like a wolf or a Malamute, that's a V. That's not a retriever. If it looks like a horseshoe, roundish, no corners, well, that's a retriever mouth. And that's the soft mouth. And that means that dog had some breeding for years from when we took them from, you know, wild dogs and wolves and made them domesticated, had breeding that made it the kind of animal that would carry a wounded, dying duck without eating it or killing it. That has a mouth that's so gentle and yet strong that it can save people from drowning in the ocean. That's what Labradors did without making a mark on their skin. So that's the kind of dog you want for your kids. A dog who could take a pounding if they're in a wrestling match and they fall on him and nothing breaks. Unlike the little Frenchie, who might not be so, might be a little more delicate. And a dog whose skin and coat is made for all weather and easy to handle. On the other hand, if you want a little baby, you want a little dog to take on walks, and you want a dog that's welcome everywhere and is very inexpensive to feed and doesn't cost a lot to kennel, then a French bulldog might be your bet. Always friendly, always happy, always in a good mood. Nothing wrong with that. So, okay, next thing on the news, I wanted to talk about, okay, so this is really funny and I'm going to tell you about it. So while we're on the commercial, if you want to Google it and look it up, you can see it. But there was a skit on Saturday Night Live in January, and the skit is called The Badminster Dog Show. So if you just type that in, The Badminster Dog Show, SNL, you'll find it on YouTube. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. It is so on. They've got the dog in the shaky category and a dog in a medical category. And they got all these dogs with major, major problems. One dog will attack if it hears a beep. Another dog who has one of his body parts permanently outside of himself and needs to go to the vet regularly to have it put back in. I mean, variety of hysterical problems discussed on the Badminster Dog Show. So if you want to have a laugh, check that out. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you more. Well, I'm going to tell you about Viagra for dogs. Seriously? Yeah, seriously. It's not what you think. On Animal Party Pet Life Radio, stay tuned.
How many of you have pets? My hand's raised. Now think about how lucky you are to have such a sweet little pet in your life, and that pet is lucky to have you too. But unfortunately, there are countless pets out there that don't have a home to call their own. However, Bob's from Skechers is trying to change that. So we developed Bob's for Dogs and Cats to help pets in need. With every purchase of adorable Bob's footwear or fun, stylish apparel, or even the cutest Bob's pet accessories, Skechers makes a donation to Petco Love to help save shelter pets. And with your help, we've already saved the lives of over 1 million pets and raised over $7 million. So while you're getting style and comfort with features like Skechers' famous memory foam cushioning, you're also helping to save an adorable pet in need and helping another lucky owner be connected with a future best friend and companion, because happiness is having a loving pet by your side. Find Bob's at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, select Petco locations, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. It's me, Deb Wolf, from Camp Good Dog out here in the Pacific Northwest, just north of Seattle, just east of Vancouver in Canada. And I run Camp Good Dog Boarding Kennel. And so if you want to see cute dogs, check out Facebook Camp Good Dog and you'll see our dogs. Or if you want to see some of my how-to videos on how to train dogs, like some of the dogs you just saw on that Badminster Dog Show SNL skit, I can teach you how to get your dog to stop quaking. Or in the non-dog walking category, they had a category for non-walkers, like as if there's such a category. But anyway, I could teach you how to get your dog to put his feet in front of them, one foot in front of the other, and not balk or go on strike or be afraid. All of that's on my YouTube channel, Deb Wolf Pet Expert. But I wanted to just draw attention to the fact that I'm here in the Pacific Northwest because there's been some interesting research out of Washington State University nearby. And what they found, there's a terrible condition called, I'm probably mispronouncing this, but it's megaesophagus. And what happens is the esophagus in a dog overgrows, doesn't stop growing, and becomes ineffective at opening and closing. So the dog can't eat properly. The food doesn't go down to its stomach. It's closed. A lot of vomiting, regurgitation. Sometimes these dogs die from choking on their food. Sometimes they have malnutrition problems. Major, major issue for these dogs who have this disease. So at Washington State University, they tried giving them a modified version of Viagra. Yeah, really. And it worked. I can't think of a better use for Viagra, really. But anyway, it worked. So these dogs, the esophagus now clears and they can eat and they don't die and they don't throw up and they're not aspirating all the time and they're not choking on their food, which is so hard for the owners to watch. Imagine you have a pet that's hungry and you feed it and it can't eat and it throws up and it chokes and you're constantly at the vet and And all you have to do is get a little bit blue pill and boom, presto, problem gone. So well done, researchers at Washington State University. That's fantastic news. And if you're out there with a dog with this problem, talk to your vet about looking up this research, because this is groundbreaking and it could help your pet right now. Okay, so moving along with some more of the news, I noticed that in the actual real life Westminster dog show, the winner this year was a Pekingese called Wasabi. And if you look at this dog, it's everything people who hate dog shows and criticize foo-foo dogs speak about. It's got massive hair. It looks like a pillow with a tiny little face in the middle. Beautifully groomed, lovely little dog. Okay, but Pekingese. What's with the Pekingese? Well, sometimes, that one's very well behaved. He won the show, but sometimes they're not so well behaved. So I want to thank the person who wrote in when I asked for cat questions to ask Dusty Rainbolt. Someone wrote in a dog question. So I wasn't going to ask Dusty Rainbolt, the cat wrangler, how to get your Pekingese to stop barking at people. We're going to cover that today. First, we're going to go back to break, and then we'll come back and talk about how to get your Pekingese to stop barking at people. There's a little bit of quiet training tips on my Deb Wolf Pet Expert YouTube. If you want to look that up, you can see how to use treats to train a barking basset whose owners had inadvertently trained it to bark to get a cookie. How to train it to quiet to get a cookie. Very simple. It's all in the timing. A dog will do what works. If barking works to get it a cookie and it likes cookies, it will bark. If quiet works to get it a cookie and it likes cookies, it will be quiet. Same for jumping dogs. If jumping works to get it attention and greeting, even if you're yelling, even if you're upset, even if you're pushing it down, even if people are sometimes annoyed, the dog will jump. If jumping makes no difference, everybody ignores it, puts their arms, folds their arms across their chest, turns their backs to the dog, pretends he's totally invisible, the dog will stop jumping. If the dog sits and you pet it and you do that every single time it sits, it will start to sit for you. It's so simple. If you got a leash and a friend, you can train a jumping dog in a matter of minutes to sit, because sit works and jumping gets you ignored. Sit and you get the world. You get all the attention you could ever want. Cuddles and pets and treats and love. But if you jump, nobody sees you. Okay, the dog will stop jumping right away. Day one, even if it's been years, dogs learn fast and they undo bad habits fast. And they learn specific to people. So if you're the person who never rewards him when he jumps, he will not jump on you anymore. He may jump on the rest of the family who give mixed messages, but he'll stop jumping on you. So take charge of that right away. All right, we're going to go to break and come back and talk about this noisy little Pekingese on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. Back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio, the noisy Pekingese. What's up with this dog? Okay, so why does this little tiny dog all the time when it sees new people? And maybe even familiar people. And maybe when it wishes to see people. And maybe when it's expecting that maybe people might come. I mean, the email really spelled out, this dog is a noisy dog. Well, we're talking about fear. That's what we're talking about. Okay, so if you're interested in this topic and you have a little dog that behaves in a way that people who hate little dogs find so difficult to tolerate and you want to change it, check out the show I did with Darlene Arden. I miss her so much. She passed away But I did some shows with her, and one of the shows I did with her was called Small Dogs, Big Hearts, which is her book about small dogs. An amazing book. I thought I knew small dogs before I read the book, and it just completely puts you in their perspective. What would it be like to be 6 inches tall? What would it be like to be a couple pounds, living in a world where your own species towers over you? It's like if you were a tiny, tiny, tiny person and everyone else was an NBA player, right? And that's just your own species. Never mind the other, the humans who tower over the NBA players. I mean, you're just dwarfed in every sense of the word and made to feel little and vulnerable at all times. So you're a canine, you're a predator, but are you? Well, no, you're actually prey. Everything wants to kill you. The hawks from above, the bigger dogs, the coyotes. I mean, you are prey, even though in your heart and your blood, you're a predator. So you don't really know how to make that all work in this world as you go around tied to a leash, dragged through situations where feet are gigantic, boom, 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 coming down, and you have to time everything so you don't get stepped on. And sometimes these dogs have the bad luck of having owners who take them places they really shouldn't, like firework displays and crowded parks and places with itty-bitty children who don't have good dog manners, stranger children who grab and poke. You got to keep in mind, this is a tiny little creature, the Pekingese, and it's got the heart of a predator. It doesn't want to be a little victim. It doesn't want to be carried everywhere. It wants to march through the world proudly. And that's why it's barking. It's sending out a warning. I'm a dog. I'm a canine. I'm a predator. Leave me alone. Don't bug me. I'm okay. Everywhere it goes. Now, of course, because it's so tiny, this message is not well received. It makes big dogs think this is amusing and come over to check out the situation, right? And it doesn't deter the predators. They just hone in. Oh, look, squeaky toy. Oh, look, there's something interesting. And yes, a Pekingese does sound a lot like a squeaky toy at times. Bad coincidence for the Pekingese. So dogs all over the place will see this tiny little thing on a leash and not know if it's a dog or a cat or a mouse or a rat and be all prey, get all excited, get a little adrenaline rush, get ready to go ambush it. And that's when, of course, this little guy says, no, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, don't. But it says it in such a wimpy little way because of its little tiny body. It sends out a mixed message. So a dog that's out to prove itself will come over and harass it. Okay, so how? I'm just explaining all the reasons, but how do you make this dog more confident? Well, the first thing is when it barks and you're in a controlled situation like at home, use my video on YouTube. Use that to teach it the word quiet. Have treats, get it to bark on command, then get it to be quiet. The treat always comes when the dog is quiet, never when it's barking. So, if you say speak, speak, and the dog, boop, 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 good boy. Okay, quiet. Good boy, quiet. You're so good. It takes a lot longer, right? You spend a lot more time on the quiet, petting him, giving him cookies. Oh, quiet is so good. You're so good. You're so good. And okay, so once you got that down, he knows what quiet means now. So now when you're out and about, you want to use your leash to give him really strong heel commands, get him walking with you, not pulling out in front, not ever on a flexi leash. Flexi leashes are great for well-behaved dogs, but if your dog is challenging you, get rid of the flexi leash, get a regular leash. Because a flexi leash teaches him he's always in charge and he's very independent of you. It also looks very confusing to other dogs. They don't see him as with you. They see him as, if they're going to mistake him for prey, he's not protected by you on a flexi leash, and you can get really badly tangled up in them. They can really burn your ankles. So I would suggest no flexi leash unless your dog is very elderly or very, very well trained. Otherwise, they're really not that useful. Possibly instead of off leash times when there's no other dogs around, that can also be a use for them. But I really find they can cause a lot of dangerous situations when they get wrapped around a dog leg, especially, but even a human leg, they can really cause a terrible mark. So I don't really like the flexi leash. But get them on a regular leash, teach them to heel when there's no other dogs around, teach them to quiet when there's no other dogs around, do lots of practice walks. Maybe you go in the middle of the night, maybe you go in the morning, maybe you go when it's raining. Pick your times, pick your place so you're not encountering dogs. So you got him walking quietly and behaving and earning treats and praise for that. Now you go out and look for dogs. and start with a distance. Have the dog or the people, because this dog barks at people too, have the dog or the people on the other side of the road and just focus on your heel. I'd love you to go to my Dove Wolf Pet Expert YouTube for this and check out the heel section, because heel is not just a tug of war where the dog says, hurry up, and you say, slow down, and you argue about it for a half an hour with your shoulder aching. That's not what heel is. When I do heel, I right away show the dog that I'm not going anywhere if you're pulling. Nowhere. I will stand right here, or I will go the other way, or I will turn in a circle. I'll do something that makes me the leader. And of course, the dog right away follows and he's happy to follow. And then he tries to take the lead again. And that's when I show him, no, you think we're going north? We're going south. You think we're going left? We're going right. You think we're going to the park? Nope, we're going to the backyard. You think we're going around that car? No, we're going straight forward. Whatever it is, until he just accepts I'm the leader. And happily, because dogs like to be led. They just can't stand it when there's no leader. They don't want to live in like a commune. That's not the dog style. They want you to lead so they can follow and look cool, especially a little Pekingese. He wants you to be a strong leader. Show the rest of the world that, hey, I'm with her. I'm with this big human. Don't mess with me, right? Then he doesn't have to bark so much. So you're the leader. You're showing control. You're showing direction. He's following. You're praising him. And when he does his at the neighbor that he should know, or the dog he's met before, that's when you do your heel corrections, quick little tugs on the leash, and you get him into position. And you walk, you keep walking the whole time, because heel is a command that means walk with me, walk at my side. It doesn't mean sit still. It doesn't mean stand there and look at the thing you want to bark at. It doesn't mean sit in a space that the other dog may think is its territory and cause some aggression. No, no, we're just walking. No point in messing with us. We're not here long. We're walking. I'm doing what my leader says. Don't bother me. I'm with her. That's the message you want to send. And so you, as after the dog gets it the first time with the people on the other side of the street, and your dog is, your Pekingese is being very quiet and listening to you and looking up at you and healing with you. And maybe you go left and you go right and you do some dance moves. Maybe you turn around. You keep the dog guessing. So his brain has to think about your legs and your footwork and what you're doing. And the other dog isn't really important. The person on the other side of the street is irrelevant. He's busy with you. So once you've got that happening, you can start to get closer and closer. And if ever he starts to act up, you just go a little bit further away, get him back in the groove of listening and quiet until you can go closer. Now, and while you're working on all this, because the Pekingese that we're talking about is an older dog and he's been practicing this barking habit for years. And when he goes off, the people sort of usher him away. Nobody wants to be near him. So the other people leave, the dogs leave, everybody gives him. So he's learned if he freaks out and barks a lot, he's safe. Everybody backs up. So we're going to teach him, no, 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 no. We go where we want. We go around people. We go around dogs. And you're safe when you listen to us. You're safe when you quietly heal. So with that, you got to make sure you don't put him in any danger. You don't take him to the dog park when there's a bunch of disobedient dogs getting too rough and the owners aren't paying attention. That's not your time, right? You stage situations where he's always super safe, super protected. You don't have to worry about it. You could do it in your backyard. You can do it in someone else's backyard. And get him meeting dogs. Get him meeting people. Start socializing this dog, because part of the problem is he hasn't had enough positive experiences. He likes your immediate family and no one else. So you need to start, if there's a neighbor that he's always barking at, same neighbor, you like this neighbor, there's no reason, invite that neighbor over for a snack or tea or coffee or whatever. Have the dog on leash in the house for this and practice what I just said, all of it in the house until the dog can accept that this is our friend. This is our friend who comes for coffee. Once you've made one friend, you can make another friend and another friend and another friend. And gradually the dog's worldview starts to change. He doesn't think of the world as all enemies. He starts to think of the world as friends he hasn't met yet. So that's what we want. Okay, if you have any more questions about come, sit, stay, heal, cats who won't play, cats who attack you, cats who sleep on your head, anything at all, send them to me. You can do it on Facebook Camp Good Dog or Deb Wolf Pet Expert YouTube. That's a good place to go because that's where all my videos are for training. Okay, so Mother's Day is coming up. And I do want to talk a little bit about some Mother's Day, mother's moments here. Sometimes people, well, I've read so often, I used to read that a mother dog does not recognize her young once they're grown. I've talked about this before on the show because it really bugs me when these sort of wisdoms get repeated and interpreted as facts, and there's no fact to it. That is absolutely incorrect. I call that one. No way. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. A mother dog most definitely recognizes her young when they are grown. I had a dog called Sophie, a golden retriever. She passed years ago. She was my first breeding dog in 2005, and she had golden doodles. And sometimes the golden doodles would grow to be bigger than her, especially the males. And sometimes they'd come back to my boarding camp years later, like 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. Every time she recognized them, it didn't matter how big they were or how long it had been. She would do the same thing with her puppies, whether they were little or big, and not with any other dogs ever. And what she would do is first when she would greet them, so she'd get all excited when they came to the kennel. She knew before she even sniffed them. But when she got into the field with her grown offspring, she would groom them from head to toe. She would start with their eyes, clean their eyes, and then she'd clean their ears, and then she'd clean their head. And this grown dog, no matter how big or tough or old or whatever, no matter what his personality was elsewhere, he would stand perfectly still like a little itty bitty puppy with his eyes squinted shut and his head lifted just in ecstasy. And she would lick his eyes and then his ears and slowly move back till she'd licked him pretty much from head to toe, all along the back. She wouldn't do his legs, but she'd do all along the back, all the way to the nether regions. And that was her greeting for her pups. And I saw her do it over and over and over for years. So why is it kind of conventional wisdom that mama dogs don't recognize their young? Well, the same dog, Sophie, if she was with a new litter of puppies, you know, newborns or 1 month old, 6 week olds, even 3 month olds, even already weaned and running around puppies, but young, vulnerable puppies, she would not accept one of her grown offspring. So if I were to bring her down to the kennel to a different field, she'd do the same thing she always does. Greet them like they're her little baby. But if she were to meet that dog anywhere else closer, maybe up in the front driveway or somewhere closer to where her new litter is, she would be aggressive. She will bark and growl and keep all grown adults away from her new litter, especially male adults that she doesn't know well. She may accept her mate or some of the dogs she's with constantly around her new puppies, but she's not going to accept one of her adult dogs who's just come back to visit because it's too risky for her, right? She doesn't know that they have good puppy manners or that they, so her maternal instinct kicks in for the new litter above the grown puppy. But that doesn't mean she doesn't recognize him, because on the same day you can take her down to the field and she'll do that thing again. So I just wanted to reassure you all that mama dogs, they do know their offspring. And I would suggest that even distantly related dogs recognize each other. Because I've had customers call me and Facebook me and text me, oh my God, I'm in the park and I just ran into a dog and da 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 da. And it turns out they're not exactly related, but the mother of their dog is the half sister of the mother of that dog. And somehow these dogs are playing like litter mates, even though they've never met. Well, yes, there is a smell. There is a smell. There's a smell. And dogs have it when it comes to the sense of smell. They really, really know what they're smelling. If you have spaghetti on the stove, your dog is smelling every ingredient. He's smelling the tomatoes, the oregano, the basil, the pepper, everything in there. So when he smells another dog, he can smell the family link. There's no question about it. And so that's just a Mother's Day moment for you, a Mother's Day fact. And I guess we've run out of time today on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. I have so many other things. Well, next week, I'll have to tell you about the most popular dog names and cat names and maybe why you should avoid those. You don't want to be out in the park calling Bella and have 11 dogs look your way and your dog ignores you because it knows that it's probably not for it. No, no, no. Try to come up with something nobody else is using. All right, everybody. It's been a great show. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, all the dog moms. Be good to your animals from Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And me, Deb Wolf.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.